I want to, as Easter is the story of redemption, and Marco and Manuela and Mimi and Lexi have talked about that, there's another story of redemption that I really want to just bring to you this morning. And Hamid, would you like to just come up? Now, many of us will know Hamid. Many of us will know some of the issues that Hamid has been through. And some people will know that Hamid has had... how many years has your asylum case been going on for?
Yeah, 5 years.
Okay. So this is a man who's been in limbo for 5 years with an ongoing asylum case, and a number of people in the church have been to court on his behalf and have been given a good mauling. And then we went to a tribunal because the judge gave us too severe a mauling and actually overturned a case and all sorts of things. But Hamid, you've got something you want to read, don't you, about the way that God has been at work in your life.
I'm so sorry, my English is not very well, but I wrote it. I write it just here.
Just hold it up close, that's it.
Sorry, my English is not very well, but I write it here. I read all of them and I don't miss anything. Sorry. This is my experience about my faith in Jesus Christ. I hope this would make their lead to the stronger faith believers and those who believe their faith is weak. As some of you know, I was admitted in a mental health hospital for 11 months. And saved me the Jesus from the hospital by the personal named the Halo. He's from Ethiopia and the Christianity. He was patient, but he was allowed to leave the hospital. I remember the first time when I saw him, he told me, "Lord God, you crave to be answered." And then I asked him about the one Persian Bible. He brought for me after the 2 days. And I start to read the Bible after the 3 years, gap. So as I told before, I had read the Bible in Iran. And this means that I find completely requested from the past. After the 1 month, I discharged from the hospital.
Amen.
And I found one good friend, Iranian friend. He offered me the one small place for the sleep in the shop. And after that, I can't manage my life. I could find the side number, and I find him, and I came with him to this church 3 years ago.
Amen.
In my past life, lost everything, like job, country, family, love, and so many things. But in my new life, I find the real way. I find the Jesus, who in Christ died for me and my sin, who never forget me and never leave me alone. I find the big family in the church.
Amen.
I understand those events make me strong me on my way. Now I'm not alone. Some people judge me unfair in Iran and this country, but I forgive them and I prayed for them.
Amen.
Because my Lord teach me. Because he wants me. I love everybody.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen. 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 Just stay here. The extraordinary thing is that Hamid was in a psychiatric hospital for 11 months, and he found faith because of this Ethiopian man that gave him a Bible in Farsi. And you know, when we went to court the other day, the Home Office were trying to argue that this man, because he'd been in a psychiatric unit, was not able to make a judgment on what faith was. And the judge said this, I see before me a man in his right mind, changed by the gospel. It's an extraordinary story. And so we love you, Hamid. We love the fact that you're here. But we love the fact that you are just so clear in your testimony that you love Jesus and Jesus has utterly transformed your life. Can we just pray for this man? Lord, I thank you that you have redeemed a man from a situation that was horrendous, from a situation back home that was full of abuse and torture and all sorts of things. And you redeemed him out of a psychiatric hospital here. And you put him in his right mind. And you made him a man who loves you and who is standing firm on the rock of Jesus. And Lord Jesus, this Easter morning, we want to just celebrate your goodness and your mercy over our lives. And we pray that we would be men and women together that would press into you. Lord, I want to thank you that as you have put Hamid in this family, we pray that we would be a family that pursue you relentlessly. Lord, that we'll speak to anybody, whatever situation that we're in, we would always be prepared to speak a word of peace into other people's lives. Because we don't know how you will use us, and we don't know how you will redeem people from a life of death and uncertain to a life of joy and hope and being in their right mind. Father, we thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Amen. Thank you, we have to give this guy a big round of applause. Thank you. I think I had something in my eye then, actually. So what we're going to do, just very briefly, I'm going to probably for literally 7 or 8 minutes or so, look at the Easter story, and then we're going to come back to a place of worship. And we're going to worship and delight in the risen King who has saved us. If you've got your Bibles, can you turn to Luke chapter 23? And we're just going to read this passage and allow the goodness of God to wash over us. Luke chapter 23 and verse 44. This is talking about Easter Sunday morning. It's been the lead up, the week leading up to this point as Jesus had come into Jerusalem. He'd had that moment with everyone waving their palm branches and singing Hosanna. He'd gone into the temple. He'd cleared the people out of the temple that were making it a place of just a marketplace, and it had been lost the presence of God. He'd been in and he'd taught in the temple. He had then on Thursday night, he had been betrayed by Judas. During the night, Thursday night, Friday morning, he was betrayed and he was taken before Pontius Pilate and condemned to death. On the Saturday we get to now, it was now about the sixth hour, about midday on the Saturday, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now, when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returning home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching those things. And I'm going to read that the next section in a minute. But there was this moment that we need to remember where this curtain was torn in two. Because up until this point, there had always been a barrier between man and God. There had always been this barrier that was symbolized by this curtain in the temple. And so you could go into the temple, but there was this big, heavy curtain, and you couldn't really go into the most holy of holies where God was. You couldn't go in there because this curtain blocked the way. And at the moment when Jesus died, what happened? This curtain was just ripped in two. And what it means is this, that there is no longer a barrier between you and your Heavenly Father. Because Jesus has been punished for your sin. And Jesus has been punished for me. And we read it, we think, oh, it's just the curtain ripped in two. What does it mean? It's the pivotal moment in history, brothers and sisters, where I can stand before my God innocent. Not because I am innocent, but because the blood of Jesus has made me innocent. Phenomenal moment. Verse 50. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish, this is the passage that Jerry read earlier on, from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and a righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action. And he was looking for the kingdom of God. And this man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And then they took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. And it was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how the body was laid. And then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. And on the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. Chapter 24, verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said this to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. And this is the verse I just want us to focus on. Verse 10. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. There's this extraordinary moment where the apostles nearly missed the central moment in history. They nearly missed it. Because the women, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and a few other women, they'd been there and they'd seen it, and they came back and they met with all these apostles. And what did the apostles say? Not so sure about that. And it says here, it felt like there was idle talk. And it just made me think, why? Why did the apostles miss nearly the central pivotal moment in the history of the universe? And I think it's because of this. They felt loss. They were disappointed. They were full of fear. They were having an identity crisis. They were probably very tired. And they started blaming one another. They were wrapped up in themselves. And they were, I think they just felt the loss. They felt, oh, everything was going so well. And Jesus was here and the kingdom of God was going to come. And they just, he's died. And they just felt loss. I think they were just disappointed. They thought, oh, this thing was going to be so good, wasn't it? This thing was going to be incredible. This kingdom of God, and we're right next to the Messiah. Do you know, I just think they felt disappointed. I think they must have felt fearful of being found out. I think they had an identity crisis because up to that point, they were known as what? The disciples of Jesus. Now they're disciples of someone who's dead. I think they were tired. It'd been a big old week in Jerusalem. I can imagine the disciples when Jesus was turning over tables in the, sort of like in the temple, and they said, Jesus, calm down. I don't think, no, we won't do the Scouse accent, but he was just saying, no, Jesus, calm down. Look, and I'm sure he was trying to take them away. And he said, no, and it had been a big old week for them. Emotionally, I bet they were just wrecked. And I bet they started to blame Judas. But do you know what? This is what happened. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, they put themselves in the right place. They just put themselves in the right place. They went and they were close to Jesus. They did what they had to do. They put themselves in the right place. And Peter, what did he do? He put himself in the right place. And when he heard something, he just ran to it. He ran to it. And sometimes I just feel, you know, at Easter, how often do we feel real loss? How often are we consumed by the things that we have lost? How often have we just been disappointed? You know, hands up if you have been disappointed with God. I have been disappointed with God. There have been times when I have really wanted God to come through on something. How many times have we felt fearful? We don't know what the future holds. I don't know what my life is going to pan out like. Is it going to be good? Am I going to get a good job? Am I going to get married? Am I going to have children? What is it going to be like? And fear can sometimes grip us. How many people are living in London just feel tired sometimes? Just feel tired. And how many people want to blame somebody else for the situation they're in? All I'm saying is this, that at Easter time, Jesus speaks a better word. He speaks a better word over our lives. He speaks a better word over our lives than focusing on our loss, than focusing on our disappointment, than focusing on our fear, than focusing on our identity crisis, than focusing on our tiredness, than focusing on blaming other people. Jesus speaks a better word over us. And what Mary and Joe and Mary and Peter did was this. They positioned themselves well to hear the better word. And so what I would really like us to do is, I'm going to pray for us. We're going to have a time of ministry. I don't know how many minutes that was, but it was short. But I want to pray over us that we would be men and women like Mary, Joanna, Mary and Peter. And that we wouldn't be like the apostles in that moment, who nearly missed an extraordinary move of God because they were just consumed with what was going on in their own lives. Jesus speaks a better word. There is more in Jesus. There is more healing for us today. There is a new chapter that can open for us today. There is so much more in Jesus because he speaks a better word over us at Easter. Let's be people who be like Peter, just run. Whenever we see something that could possibly be good, oh, let's run to it. Let's be people like Mary and Joe and Mary. They put themselves in the right place. Let's not be people who are passive, who are like those like disciples and they just sat down and think, I think it's just idle talk. Let's position ourselves where God is going to do mighty works in our lives. Can I ask you to stand, please? Can we come back? Heavenly Father, we just invite you, Holy Spirit, right now, to come and have free reign in our lives. Heavenly Father. Holy Spirit, would you come and minister to us right now? And if you have identified with any of those things that the disciples identified with, loss or fear or disappointment, identity crisis or blaming other people, God wants to speak a better word over your life right now. The whole story of Easter is that he defeated death. He defeated those things to speak a better word over you, to bring you to a place of great joy. And so, Holy Spirit, we just say to you, come, would you be at work in us as we give our failings and our weaknesses to you now? We pray that we would know incredible joy bursting out from within us. Lord, we thank you that this Easter day was a day when you defeated death. Oh God, when the curtain was ripped in two, where there needs to be no longer any barrier between us and you. But Lord, you brought us to this extraordinary, joyful place. And so we say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Yeah, come, Lord.